Take a look at something else now, because we were talking earlier on to Brian Kennedy. He's got the Joni Mitchell album just about to be released with the River Song already there, because it's hard to believe, but earlier this week, on Thursday to be precise, Joni Mitchell turned 70. She's been described as the most important and influential female recording artist of the late 20th century. In particular, her first 10 albums marks her down as not just the most prolific and brilliant of all the 70s singer-songwriters, male or female, but as one of the very few who experimented so recklessly with her own artistic identity and so bravely explored territory outside the accepted confines of pop music that she paved the way for countless performers who emerged over the past few decades, many of them very successful today. She really is unique and she really is great. Now, over the last few years, she's more or less completely withdrawn from music, devoting herself to the solitary pursuit of painting. Almost all her album covers, as I mentioned earlier on, by the way, they feature examples of her work. Anyway, a long time ago, when my voice was slower and very weird, I sat down for a long interview with Joni Mitchell. So to mark her 70th birthday, let's take a listen to just a little bit of that today.
Now, have you ever put integrity aside for commercial success?
I might have on my first album. The very first album. You understand?
Siegel or Joni Mitchell. But
because I didn't make the mistake with the first album, I never had to. You know, the first album, I was coming in looking suspiciously like a folk singer at the end of a folk movement. David Crosby bailed me out on that because he said, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put strings and they're going to laminate things all over you to try and make, you know. So he, under the guise of a producer, did not produce me. He just let me go in and he kind of served as a watchdog to protect that the form. If I was going to sell out, I probably would have sold out then. But then the record did well, and from then on, nobody really contested my directions.
Well, do you have very fixed ideas, for instance, like when you go into the studio, are you sort of very concerned about individual contributions from the other musicians in terms of, say, feeling, playing, and ideas? Is it very much a collaboration?
Very much so. You know, there's the structure, you know, which is the way the song is designed on my end as it stands, kind of like a folk song.
Yeah.
So I don't want that to get too dissolved into it, unless what is being lost is being replaced with something that I feel is better, then I'll let it go. So I'm kind of guiding it along, but I require a lot of contribution from individuals.
Well, do you find, looking around for musicians, that there are very few who have everything you're looking for, like, for instance, power, a grasp of the subtleties and the structure, technique, dexterity, the works? Do you find there are very few who have the whole lot?
Yeah, it's like painters, you know, they're often the ones who draw well have lost a certain amount of an emotional power. The ones that have a lot of emotional power don't have the draftsmanship or the virtuosity, you know, like, so to find a band that has raw power and spontaneous compositional gifts, I mean, that can fling new ideas and a certain kind of an ego, not a certain kind of an ego which is the love of their own art, and also big ears for what everybody else is playing, so they can spin off of an idea that, in other words, if somebody catches a lick, someone else will jump in on it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the jazz part of the music that I enjoy, you know, that kind of spontaneity and alertness.
Well,
see, you know.
If anyone came up to me who didn't know the music of Joni Mitchell and said they wanted to take one LP where Joni says all she has to say about love, should I refer them to this LP or should I refer them to the past?
Oh, God. You mean just one? God.
Yeah, if they said just one.
I think the best statement that I've ever made about it is not even my own, and that's the Corinthians piece. I just, you know, I don't think this album, if you're going to take one something, to me that's a definitive statement about what it is. You know, like, to me, my own writing sort of gropes around for what it is by comparison. But that's such a highly personal thing. It depends what change they're going through. There's a lot of intricate changes in regard to love on all the albums, and something might suit their situation better than something else. It's very individual. Yeah.
The music that really got to you in the early days was the music of Lambert, Hendricks and Ross, then Miles Davis, Bob Dylan, etc. What was it exactly about the music of that time that turned you on?
Okay, well, Dylan, for me, I'd written poetry or written private thoughts down for a long time, and I was a folk singer at that time, so I was singing mostly the songs of the British Isle. And in the coffee house circuit, your individuality came from your repertoire. And if you moved into a, if you were traveling and you came to a town where somebody had the territorial rights to certain songs, you couldn't play them. So there was always a rush for new material. And it hadn't occurred to me really to write my own until I heard, you know, what Dylan was doing and the expansion of themes. You know, he, in a way, the American pop song was limited in its themes. I think before him, he inspired me with the many things that you could sing about.
What was so special about the whole Woodstock thing, and how did you feel about being the spokeswoman, if you like, for that?
Woodstock to me was like a, almost like a Bible story or something. It was a modern day miracle. It was a moment in time when an enormous population came and shared and expressed a high degree of goodwill and consideration. It was a fellowship of man situation. It was the only festival really of its kind, you know. Each one had a distinct personality. You know, it was, that was the Love Festival, and there was Altamont was the Hate Festival, and the Isle of Wight was the Hate the Performer Festival. You know, each one, every audience that you stand before is an individual. And the first 10 rows are the eyes of the beast, you know, and it telegraphs back. And anything that they, it's as sensitive as an individual. It works like, you know, and Hitler knew, like crowd psychology, he could make a mob, you know, move any way he wanted to. You know, they do, in fact, become an individual, I think. And the individuality of Woodstock was very high, very high.